Welcome to the Slay and Thrive podcast, where we make crushing your goals feel like self-care. This is the show that helps high-energy women trapped in self-destructive patterns cultivate an unapologetic, loving body transformation through spiritual and personal development. On this podcast, you'll learn about dynamic eating psychology principles, mindset, shadow integration, and manifestation. I'm your host, Kayla Van Egdom, a health and energy guide, unicorn lover, and Amazon best-selling author. I am so delighted to be on this journey with you. Let's get started. All right, so this week's episode is going to be a shorter one, but I know it's going to be short and powerful. It might even be one of the episodes you want to return to when you're in a period of struggle. Personally, I know I have some episodes that are from other podcasts that I come back to in hard moments. And I truly hope this is a show where you have some of those episodes saved as well, and they're in your toolkit for those harder moments. In this week's episode, I'm sharing how to hold your power and keep faith when it looks like it's not working, when it looks like a goal isn't working, when it looks like a dream isn't going to come true, whatever it might be. I'm also going to give you two powerful archetypes, one masculine and one feminine, to lead into for additional strength and perseverance. And I'm also going to talk about how the four elements can help you in challenging times when it feels like nothing is working. So today, I wanted to start by talking about the most important day to show up for yourself. And those days are going to be the days where it seems like it's not working. The days where it seems like all of your goals are so far away, or maybe next to impossible. This could look like those days where you've been putting in the work, you've shown up fully, you've tried your very best and gave it all your effort, and you didn't get the results you were hoping for, the results you were expecting. This could look like the times where you're in a period of consistent growth. So you're spending the time doing the inner work and working through your inner demons, and you're excited about what you've done and you feel like you've made all this progress. And then you find yourself going back to your old patterns or ways of thinking. For example, maybe you've been working on cultivating more of an abundance mindset and you've been working on healing your money blocks, only to find yourself getting triggered and feeling anxious when you discover that one of your headlights is burned out, even though you know the money is available to pay for a new headlight. And it makes you wonder if you've actually changed, or if you're always going to have this response to the unexpected financial expenses. Just an example, it may or may not come from my own personal life. And I want to share why this day is so important, this day when it feels like nothing is working, because this is a day that is going to come up from time to time, no matter who you are or what your current goals are. And this is the day when it's most important to show up for yourself. This is the day when you get to practice holding your power and keeping faith, regardless of what the outer world is telling you about yourself or your results. And as I share more about why this is the most important day, I'm going to share something from my own journal. This entry came from one of these days I'm talking about. It was a day where external reality wasn't mirroring the effort and the energy I was putting into something, and I was feeling some wobble and wondering if things were working. And this particular day was a Tuesday, And it was a Tuesday following an extremely physically demanding day at work. So, to give you some context, on a work day, according to my Fitbit, which you never know how truly accurate these things are, but it's the measurement I use, I can burn anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 calories in a day on a work day. And on a usual work day, I'd say I burn between 3,000 to 3,200. And on the Monday prior to this day, we had a great schedule where we were able to build a lot of doors, and I ended up burning something like 3,800 calories. And usually, when this happens, I can expect some kind of progress with my weight loss goals. And it's not the case on this particular Tuesday morning. I woke up to discover that nothing had changed, at least not on the scale, not in the outer world. This was where I got to coach myself through my own self-doubts and unmet expectations. And the one way that I did this, which is something I love to return to, is through referencing the four characters that live inside my brain. And these are the same four characters that live inside your brain. They might not be the exact same, but you're going to have these archetypes. And this is a concept that comes from the book Whole Brain Living by Jill Bolte Tyler. Taylor, my bad. It's one of those books that I'm thinking of rereading again because it was a huge help for me, especially in the midst of challenging times. I think I did another episode on this book and the ideas in it back in 2022. So I'm going to link that episode for you in the episode description. And I would also highly recommend checking out the book. Today, I'm just going to share what I wrote in my journal and how you can use these same concepts to show up for yourself on the days when something feels like it isn't working. When you choose to hold your power and keep faith, in spite of external feedback running contrary to your desired results, this is where you create another level of inner strength for yourself. And when we develop another level of inner strength, we can do more things, we can show up more powerfully, and we can feel better in the process because we have this self-efficacy. We believe we can do things, and that's going to make us show up differently and feel better when we show up. So, as we dive into my journal, yes, I actually do refer to myself as you when I journal. I used to read these California Diaries as a kid, and one of the characters always talked to himself in second person when he journaled, versus using first person like most people do. And even then, I thought that was pretty cool. And it feels like I'm having an intentional conversation with myself, and it kind of opens up the door to better coach myself when I journal. So it's the way I've journaled for a while now. All right, so this is what I wrote. And I was talking about the plateau, and I put plateau in quotations. All right, here's the journal entry. This is just your brain saying it's a plateau when that's mind drama. You already know what's going on with your body. You also know it's your expectations that are creating the suffering in your brain. It's not the reality of the situation. You have the power to look at this situation through any lens you want. And there is this scarcity beast brain that sees it like this. Time is running out. What if this is as good as it gets? It's not working. This part of your brain wants to pipe up and give its two cents. Here's how you get to consciously work with it. Grandma kink, you can acknowledge that you sometimes enjoy the self-created drama over these quote-unquote plateaus, because then the breakthrough feels that much more rewarding when it happens. Deep down, you know it'll happen. Can you be turned on a little bit by your own drama? And then there's these other energies you can bring in. The warrior. This is the part of you that knows the most important day to show up is when it feels like it's not working. Sometimes the external results aren't going to match your effort or your process. That's how life works sometimes. And it's not a problem. It's a glorious, majestic growth opportunity. Because literally anyone can show up for themselves and commit to a process when it looks like it's all working. How many people keep showing up to that same process on the days, or even during the entire week, or maybe even the entire month, when it looks like it's not working? And it's building that skill, the skill of continuing to hold the belief on these days. You can be durable. Your process is your process. Your process isn't just your process on the days it's giving you the exact results you were hoping for. And the other archetype, the goddess. This is the most powerful place you can work. Yes, you love your warrior energy, that left brain thinking, challenge-oriented way of being in the world. And this is the year of the goddess. This is where the real work lies. It's holding the belief in a divinely feminine way, trusting you get to feel how you would feel when this goal is realized right now. This is your work. It's remembering that your current reality comes from your thoughts and beliefs from months ago, not from the current vision you have for yourself. The earth element is the slowest moving of all the elements. You want to remember the power of the goddess within you. You are powerful. And just because the world isn't reflecting every piece of your vision back to you immediately, just means that the world has to catch up. It can and it will. That was what I wrote in my journal, and I wanted to give you those words and a sense of how these archetypes inside your brain can operate on the days it looks like it's not working. When it's not working and you start to feel wobble and self-doubt, you probably have what Jill Bolte Taylor calls the left brain feeling part of your brain activated. And she encourages you to give these parts of your brain names. So this is personally what I call my inner beast. This is the part that is always scanning for danger, and it's always looking to keep you safe. And because it's doing so, it can always find things that are wrong or things that can hurt you. It's looking for what isn't working so it can protect you. So a few things that Jill Bolte Taylor writes about this part of us. It's the reptilian brain that puts us into fight, flight, or freeze. It expresses fear and anxiety. It also shifted out of its connection to God and the universe to live as an isolated individual. And in doing so, it sacrificed its own peace, because that's what we feel when we're connected to whatever higher power we believe in. Sacrifice that so we could evolve. And it faces our deepest fears and sounds the alarm. In terms of the actions it takes, it whines, it cheats, it schemes, it experiences self-loathing, guilt, shame, jealousy, and it has temper tantrums. This sounds like a pretty inconvenient, unhelpful part of us, right? This isn't the case at all. We want to have a part of our brain that sounds the alarm, especially if we're about to get rear-ended by a vehicle, or if there's this menacing shadow advancing on us in a dark alley and we're all by ourselves. This part of us serves a purpose. And when we can love and accept this part of us, we can heal and transform it. When we don't love and accept it, we push it into our subconscious, and it's there. We have almost zero control over it. And I think it can be freeing to admit our less than ideal qualities instead of trying to hide them. When I can admit that sometimes I'm a bit of a whiner, I can choose different, less whiny thoughts. When I notice myself getting jealous of someone for some reason, I can consciously dig into that jealousy and ask what it's trying to tell me. And once you work with this part consciously, you can also choose to bring in these other two archetypes to the party so they can also share their gifts and wisdom. Let's start with what feels like the archetype of slay to me. This is what I call my inner warrior, and in my opinion, this is masculine energy at its finest. It's about not letting external factors impact the process. Regardless of what the external results are, it's showing up and doing it anyways. When I think about this, I think about Macbeth at the end of the Shakespeare play. Now, Macbeth was kind of an anti-hero for a lot of the play, if you're familiar with the Shakespeare work. He killed the king so he could become the new king. And then everything started falling apart in the kingdom, and people discovered what he'd done, and they were all after his head. From what I can remember, I read this in grade 10. That was 2005. That was almost 20 years ago. Oh my goodness. But this is what I remember. And what I remember most profoundly was all the odds were stacked against him at the end of the play. And instead of just backing down, he picked up his sword and he went to battle, even though he probably knew he was going to lose. And again, might be getting some of the details wrong, but I remember us discussing that this was the most heroic Macbeth was over the entire course of the play. Everything was against him. The entire kingdom was out for him. And he basically knew he'd lose. And his response was, I'm going to pick up my sword and I'm going to fight anyway. So when it looks like everything is against you and nothing is working, can you still pick up your metaphorical sword and keep fighting? That is power. Because again, anyone can pick up the sword when the odds are stacked in their favor. It takes a lot more courage to keep fighting and keep going when it seems like there's a good chance you're not going to win. So that's masculine energy I invite you to bring to these situations. And equally as important, there's also the feminine energy. And I call this character the goddess. And here are some of her key traits. And these are again taken from the book, Whole Brain Living. So the goddess is expansive. She's open to possibilities and she values the big picture over the day-to-day wins and losses. She's connected to the universe and everything around her. And she's also accepting. She embodies surrender and accepts when things need to change. She also is able to set intentions and she trusts that everything is working out for her and through her. This is another way you can hold your power and keep faith when it looks like it's not working. Oftentimes, it is only in a small snapshot of time where it doesn't look like things are happening. Maybe it's an off day or a little failure that has nothing to do with the big picture. The goddess sees the big picture and surrenders to the times where things don't go as planned because she holds this deep belief that somehow it's all happening for her. And she doesn't even need to know the how. She trusts that the how will be revealed in time. You've probably experienced this in your own life. A time when something didn't go as planned, or you didn't achieve a result in the exact way or in the exact timing you wanted it. But when you did achieve the thing you were desiring, or you achieved something even better in some cases, you realized it was all meant to happen that way, either because you grew as a result, or it opened doors to all kinds of other beautiful things for you. When you can drop into your divine feminine energy and you're able to trust, surrender, and keep faith and hold your power in knowing you are pure magic and you can create anything you desire, and the external world only gets to convince you otherwise if you let it convince you otherwise, this is a whole different level of potency. And I know if you're listening to this, you have this in you. Finally, as we start to close off this episode, I want to share a little something about the four elements and timing. One of my Christmas presents this year was an astrology tarot deck, which is similar to a regular tarot deck, but instead of the major arcana cards like the Emperor and the Lovers, it has all the different planets and astrological signs. It also has water, air, fire, and earth cards instead of cups, wands, swords, pentacles, but they're pretty much the same. They're the four elements. And in the guidebook, they mention how you can use the elements to figure out the timing in which something is going to happen. And they talk about fire being representative of spring and taking action, so it happens the fastest. Meanwhile, water is the second fastest, then air, then finally, earth is going to take the longest to show up. And what this says to me is a few things. One, the earth element, the physical manifestations are going to take the longest. So there's a need to be patient and wait for those results to come in the outer world. And two, we can always make a change energetically with the element of fire. And this can happen by either consciously moving into one of the archetypal energies I shared today, whether you need the warrior, the goddess, or a little bit of both, or you can take an action in the direction of your goals almost immediately in many cases. It doesn't have to be a huge action, it can be a small action. And this can be especially powerful to do on the days when something looks like it's not working. Then the third thing is that your emotions and your thought patterns can start to change quicker than your physical results will. And doing this work alone can help you remember your power and keep faith during hard times. You can generate certain emotions with the thoughts you think and the actions you take. You don't have to wait for the result to get here. If you are only living in the physical world, the realm of Earth, and always looking for physical results and make that the be-all end-all, you'll miss out on so much of the magic that is happening with water, air, and fire. You'll miss the changes in your thinking, how you're ridding yourself of unhelpful thought patterns, how you're creating new empowering beliefs. You'll miss how much happier and more aligned you feel by doing the inner work or making different positive changes in your life. And you also won't be taking the time to celebrate the actions you're taking and the energy you're feeling as a result. If you want to hold your power when it feels like it's not working, which is usually because the slowest moving earth element isn't showing you results yet, you want to lean into the other elements as well. So, the element of water, the element of air, and the element of fire, which is the fastest of all of them. If you want to hold your power when it looks like it's not working, take an inspired action, even though it looks like it's not working. That will change things, I promise. Your Slay and Thrive challenge this week. I'm going to start just calling them Slay and Thrive challenges because I believe that the challenges I give you are not only going to help you get more results, but it's also going to help you feel better and expand spiritually along the way. So we're just going to call them Slay and Thrive challenges from here on out. This week's is to choose one or both archetypes and play with them on the days where something feels like it isn't working. How can you tap into the fiery energy of the warrior, or whatever you want to call it? You might have a better name for it. How can you tap into that energy and keep taking action anyways? And how can you tap into the emotional, surrendered, trusting part of you that knows she is magic and will achieve exactly what is meant for her, no matter what the external circumstances are saying in a given moment? As always, I am so grateful you've spent some of your time this week with me. I appreciate you so much and can't wait to connect with you in a future episode. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the show. If you want to connect with a community of other amazing women who are conquering their goals, taking massive action, and loving themselves through the process, I invite you to join my Facebook community, Slay and Thrive 365. You'll get weekly challenges, motivation, support, and accountability as you move towards your goals. Hope to see you there very soon.